Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Today's gospel tells us the story of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem, going up to the temple. And in fact, if we look through the gospels, there are three important moments when this happens. Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, goes up to the temple. And by looking at these three stories together, we can begin to see, I think, a good lesson for us about how God reveals his plans, but sometimes it's revealed only slowly. So let's take a look at these three stories of going up to Jerusalem, to the temple. The first one we just heard. It's the story of Mary and Joseph who, fulfilling the law of Moses, they went up and offered the sacrifice of the two birds, and then they had a strange, unexpected encounter. They met with this old man, Simeon. The gospel identifies him as a prophet filled by the Holy Spirit, though he would not have been wearing a sign that says, "I'm a prophet filled by the Holy Spirit." He just would have been an old man who was there praying in the temple. He comes forward. He takes the child. "Lord, now you can let your servant go in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. This child will be a light unto the nations. This child is the glory of your people Israel." And then, turning to Mary, "This child is going to be a contradiction. Many will rise and fall because of this child, and your soul, a sword of sorrow, shall pierce." Put ourselves into Mary's shoes. What would you make of this? Mary certainly would not have understood the meaning of this encounter. She understood at some level that this was an important moment and that God had intervened into her life in some important way at this moment, but what does this mean? What would this mean for her child? What of this ominous prediction, "Sword of sorrow shall pierce you"? There's a second story. Once again, the Holy Family goes up to Jerusalem, goes up to the temple for the festival. This time, Jesus is 12 years old. We hear about this in the Gospel of Luke, as is our Gospel reading today. There, having gone up for the festival, the Holy Family then prepares and begins part of the trip back home. But as they go, they suddenly, after about a day's worth of traveling, Joseph and Mary are having a conversation. "Oh, hey, where's Jesus?" "Oh, I thought he was with you." "Oh, no, he was with you." And then they go rushing back to go find their boy who was lost in the big city. It says that after they'd been searching for a while, they go to the temple, and there they finally find Jesus. They go to the temple, maybe searching for Jesus, maybe just to pray, because at this point they're pretty freaked out about what's going on. And Mary has this encounter. Here it is. She rushes forward to her son, and she says, "What are you doing? Didn't you know that your father and I, we've been searching everywhere for you?" Jesus' response. She says, "Your father and I have been searching for you." And Jesus says, "I was in my father's house, doing my father's work, about my father's business." Now, Mary understood at some level. She knew, she was the one who received the message from the angel, that this child was to be born by the power of the Spirit of God. Surely, this is the Son of God. And yet, she had become accustomed of saying, "Joseph and I, your parents, you know, we're searching for you." And this moment She realized something was going on here. Yes, I am in my Father's house, and I'm doing the work that my Father has asked me to do. I'm about my Father's business, Jesus says. And one final detail of this story, one that we might take note of, especially with our knowledge of the end of the story. When did they find the child Jesus in the temple? On the third day. On the third day, they find him. There's another famous third day that we might remember. Final story. Jesus goes up once more to Jerusalem and to the temple on the day that we would call Palm Sunday. He makes his triumphant entry there into Jerusalem, and he goes up and he even goes to the temple. He does the cleansing of the temple, casting out the money changers and proclaiming that this house is to be a house of prayer for his Father. This was the critical week, though, wasn't it? This is the week that Jesus was captured, was put on trial, hung on a cross to death, placed in the tomb, and on the third day rose again. We know that Mary was part of this trip to Jerusalem. She is described as being there at the foot of the cross. Did she realize at that moment that she was experiencing the fulfillment of that prophecy many years before of Simeon? Your son, he will be for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. This moment of the crucifixion will change everything. Did she know when she held her son in her arms that this was the sword of sorrow that was piercing into her heart? And then, was she aware on the day of the resurrection that it was the third day and that Jesus, who had been lost, was now found again? For he had come out from the tomb. And indeed, he had accomplished his Father's will. He had been about his Father's business to bring about the gift of new life, of resurrection. It would have been only after all this time that Mary could understand the meaning of these events that had happened decades earlier. This points to us then the way that Mary would pray. And I think that this is the lesson that we can draw from stories here today. The way that Mary prays. We encounter this throughout the Gospel of Luke over and over again. It says that something would happen and it says, well, Mary, she kept all these things in her heart. She pondered them. She meditated upon these things. She treasured them in her heart, even though she didn't have the answers right away. But she knew that something had happened. Does this sound familiar? That we have moments in our lives where we say, God, I know you're doing something here. Maybe it's been something really great. Odds are it's actually probably something that was pretty horrible. And we say, God, I know you're doing something here. Though I don't know what. What's your plan? And it certainly would be, I think, an easy temptation for all of us to simply say, okay, God, here's this thing that's going on. I know you're saying something to me in this, and I don't understand what it is, so, and I don't need an answer right now, but maybe by the end of the week. I mean, Amazon does next day shipping, so I'm sure you could be able to pull something off, right? we are so used to things coming to us so very quickly. Or we're used to high-speed internet or fast food or what have you, right? It's very easy for us to fall into this and think, well, we're going to have the answer to this right away and expect that that's how God is going to do this. But what we see in Mary is a different sort of prayer. She doesn't get an answer right away. In fact, if we chart out the numbers on this, you know, that story of Jesus being lost in the temple, what, 20 years later? This strange encounter with Simeon, 30 plus years later, is when it finally comes to fruition and she's finally able to have all the pieces and understand, ah, this is what had happened. Does that really happen? That prayers take that long to be answered? Yeah. I know I've had conversations with people and they've told me about things that God had planted, and then it was only decades later that they really understood what it was that God had put inside of them or into their life. I know the same thing from my own life. Decades later, oh, God, that's what it was about. Now, if we were to pray like Mary, on the one hand, that might seem pretty overwhelming. Who among us could pray and be able to say, well, God, I don't have an answer to this, and I might not get an answer for months, years, decades? It might be pretty depressing to think about it from that way. And yet, from the other hand, there's actually something kind of liberating about that. That this act of faith, of saying, God, you've got a plan, even if I don't understand it, and I might not get it now, but that I can trust that you will show me what it is the meaning of this thing that has happened here. And maybe there's a relief to that, of saying, you know what, maybe I don't have to understand everything right now or by the end of the week. Maybe that God is not holding me up to saying, you need to understand all of these things, but we can have a sense of abandonment and trust. Okay, God, I don't get it, but I trust that you do, and that one day you will show me. You'll bring it to fulfillment. So as we go forth from this Mass here today, we carry with us this story of the presentation of the Lord, the going up to Jerusalem and up the temple, and we have the opportunity to see Mary as a model for prayer. That we too could have this act of faith, of realizing we're going to have these moments, these encounters in our life where we say, God, what does this mean? That we can have some trust, faith, that if we put it into God's hands, that in His time, not on our time, the Lord will bring about His answers. Amen.